Hey, my name is Amanda. I want to thank you for joining us today. We hope that this message inspires you, builds your faith, and helps you find your next step toward Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. This is God's word for God's people. You can have a seat.
So when we were putting this series together, one of the things that we were talking about is what do we feel like our people need right now? Like what are some of the burning needs in the lives of our folks? And one of the things that came to the surface is we were talking about how what we really in a need of fresh wisdom, of reconnecting with what it means to be wise, how to access wisdom and incorporate it into our lives and be a part of that because we are inundated with information, right? And information is like we're drowning in that all day, every day. We could just pound ourselves with information and data and news sources and all that. We're also in a culture where the loudest voice wins in the room, and that's not wisdom. Information isn't wisdom. Anxiety can be up. That's not wisdom. So how do we reconnect with wisdom? How do we become wise? Because I want to be wise. I wanted this morning. I ran to grab some coffee before church, and I ran into two folks. One of them, we were talking. I was late, and I was happy about it after talking with these guys. One of them was trying to figure out he needs some wisdom around parenting, and you know, challenges with the child, trying to figure out how can I be wise. Information is not going to do it, right? Being the loudest voice in the room isn't going to do it. Talking with another man, trying to care for his family, aging parents. How can he support them and love them well? He needs wisdom. You know, sometimes I go through my day and information is not going to be the thing that I need. Whether I'm trying to figure out stuff at work. A few weeks ago, I got like a super long, like blisteringly critical email, you know, and a couple of those. I want to be wise. I mean, I know what I want to do, right? Which is not wise, you know. Apparently some things are illegal and whatever. And, you know, I'm human and I struggle with that. But really, let's say, you know, you're trying to get in line at Sam's Club and someone like with 4,000 items screams in right before you. You know, it's completely hypothetical. And you were really hoping to get out in time and get done so that you could go to get a hot pretzel from the cafe that are like extraordinarily good for only being $1.25 or whatever they are. And then you struggle with wisdom in that moment. What do you do? What do you say? Big things, little things in our life. And like a lot of things in our age, one of the places that we often see wisdom attempted to be reflected is like on the internet. Something that I can kind of enjoy are, you know, the quotes that get passed around on the internet, the wisdom quotes. There's usually a picture of someone, usually in black and white with like a really deep saying next to them. Here's one from Tolstoy. You got everyone thinks of changing the world, but no one thinks of changing himself. Ooh, good quote. I think Leo may need some help changing into a smile. He's, you know, facial hair, by the way, seems to be a bonus. On the wisdom quotes thing, or here's Einstein. Two things are infinite, the universe and human stupidity, and I'm not so sure about the universe. Isn't that great? Or maybe comedians that get my attention, like Mitch Hedberg. Any Mitch Hedberg fans? There's always a couple. And I'm sick of following my dreams. I'm just gonna ask them where they're going and hook up with them later. And he's the master of the one-liner. The internet gives challenges, though, like, for example, this one, the problem with quotes found on the internet is they're often not true, by Abraham Lincoln. And Some of you were a little late on that one. Right? And so we're digging around trying to find wisdom. Is that what wisdom is? Is that what those are good? Sometimes they're helpful. Sometimes I think about them a little bit. But are things that we put on coffee mugs and t-shirts and, you know, pictures that we can repost? Is that wisdom? Like, is that what's going to help us navigate our life? One of the things that we believe as Christians, you may not agree with this yet, but you're here, so I'm assuming you're at least slightly open, is that we believe that God became flesh, became a person, joined us in our life, and that Jesus is God's wisdom walking around. And as he spent time here on earth in his ministry, he showed us what wisdom really is. Now, he had some things to say about wisdom that are a little different than we might imagine or ways that we think about wisdom. And I just want to take a look at some of those. Main verse that I want to kind of circle around for the rest of our time together is in Matthew 11. This is in three different of the records of Jesus's life. And it's interesting because he's struggling with people that are being critical of him and his cousin John, among other things. And he talks a little bit about wisdom here. Chapter 11, verse 19. The Son of Man, he's talking about himself, came eating and drinking, and they say, here is a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her deeds. Interesting. We tend to put information and substitute it for wisdom. We tend to put ideas and substitute it for wisdom. We tend to put our intentions. I had a good heart. And we say that maybe that's where wisdom is. But when wisdom comes and visits us, he says that wisdom is proved right by her deeds. That's challenging because that means that what I do shows how wise I am. What I do shows how wise I am. It's not so much about what our intentions are or what our heart is or what we know or our ideas. It's what I do shows how wise I am. Now that both instantly both scares me and frees me up at the same time, right? The thing that frees me up is that means, if that's true, that means that you don't have to be highly intelligent to be wise. Anybody else feel a little like, oh, good, right? That means you don't have to be super smart to be wise. You don't even have to be super deep to be wise. You know people that you would say they are the wisest person I know, and they may or may not be able to, like, smoke an ACT test or whatever. It's about how they live. Now, so that frees me up a little bit. The thing that scares me is as soon as I start to think about what I do, like, oh no, right? I am so fast to factor in my intentions and my heart and what I meant to say and all of that, but that is not what seems to reflect if we're wise or not. It comes down to our deeds. What I do shows how wise I am. But Jesus doesn't just stop there. It's not just what I do shows how wise I am. Like if we could pick up a similar conversation in Mark chapter 7, verse 14. Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, listen to me. He's like, he's pulling people in on a secret, right? Everyone, listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it's what comes out of a person that defiles them. After he left the crowd, he entered the house, and the disciples asked about this parable. This is so great. Jesus, this is how you knew they were buddies. Are you so dull? He asked. Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach and out their body. In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. Jesus was very, the Jewish people were very concerned about what they ate. And if that was holy, or if that was going to make them unholy, or separate them from God or other people, and so what they put into their body was of high concern. He went on, what comes out of a person is what defiles them, for it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. That's a long list. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. So Jesus is speaking into a religious culture that was really big on managing your inputs. Now, last week, we spent the whole time talking about that our inputs are important. The things that we allow into our mind, the things that we allow into our body, they are important because they can influence us, and they often do. This is important to think about. What am I giving my mind to? What am I giving my time to? Who am I letting speak to me? But all of those things only matter to the extent that they influence how we end up living in the world. It is what comes out of us that matters. And Jesus, he ends up saying that it's not just what we do that shows how wise we are. What we do makes us into who we are. So be wise. What I do makes me into who I am. So I need to be wise. Now, there's maybe a conversation that's been rolling around in culture for a while, and I think part of it, there's a good piece of it, that that says I need to find out who I am. And I think there, you are unique. You have things about you that are special for you, intentions for you, that God has put in your personality and your makeup. But it's not like that there is this completely solid internal self that we just need to dig down until we find. And then when we find out who we really are, then we say, live your truth. You do you. Be authentic. Just live into who you are. I don't think that there is enough solid in me to find out who I really am. Jesus seems to say that our choices shape us into who we're going to be. So we need to figure out, where do I want to go? And not so much dig down and figure out who I am, but say, who do I want to be? And then we line up our actions in that direction, and that shapes us from the outside into who we're becoming. Our actions lead us one step at a time in the direction of who we're going to be, not just trying to reflect who we already are. If that was true, growth would actually be impossible, right? Because you're just trying to reflect who's already way down deep in there that you're trying to let loose. But what we do shapes who we are. It makes us into who we're going to be. So we need to be wise with that. Maybe there's three different me's that we could think about. There's the me that I want to be, you know, that I dream about being. You know, do you have someone in mind that you're like, I want to be this kind of person? You know, and that's kind of an intention in us that's like way out there. And then there's the me that I think I am. Jesus wants us to take stock of the me that is what I do. What I do. And kind of zero in on that. Now, that's hard to focus on. Here's the thing. Maybe you're better at this than I am. I often don't know what I do. Yeah. Have you ever had someone say, why did you say this? And you think, there is no way I said that. And then there's witnesses. Every now and then, if you notice, I don't preach with notes, which can be a problem when everything that you say can end up on the internet for forever when you have a microphone strapped to your face. And sometimes people will say, why did you say that? And I'll think, I didn't say that, and it's on the internet to prove it. This is a problem. Here's the thing. I don't know what I do sometimes. I don't know how I come across. I don't know how my actions were received. I sometimes I don't even remember or know why I did what I did. And so one of the things that I need, if I'm going to live into this wisdom of what I do makes me into who I am, I need other people around me that can lovingly challenge me, reflect me, point out when I did things that were wise, point out when I did things that weren't wise, and can hold that space with me where they can help me process what I do. Because here's the thing, if what I do is who I am, I don't know myself. I need other people to help me know myself. You know, this is why I have found for me, personally, leadership, marriage, and parenting have been the largest spiritual journeys of my life, because I have all these people around me telling me what I'm doing, that I would rather reflect on my intentions, my heart. I had a good heart. I have found out it really doesn't matter if I had a good heart if I felt like a jerk to everybody in the room, right? And so we have a chance to have people around us that can speak into us, who love us, that can help us walk into who we're going to be. Because otherwise, I walk through life thinking that I am my intentions, that I am my ideas, that I am my hopes. But if I'm going to become who I want to be, I need people around me to help me think about what I do. See, here's the thing. Wisdom is proved right by her deeds. By her deeds. That's where the wisdom is. This is hard stuff, right? But I think all of us know that it's real. All of us know that this is like, oh, that sounds right. It's just we would rather take a little bit of an easier road. Jesus, as he keeps going, if we look at back in Matthew chapter 12, he says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. Does that look like rocket science? If you've got good stuff stored in your cabinet, when you go to pull it out and you give it to people, guess what? It's good stuff. Like, thank you, Jesus, wisdom revealed to us from heaven. And the evil man brings out evil things from the evil stored up in him. So that's that question of inputs can matter deeply, right? You know, what are you putting in your cabinet? But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word that they have spoken. Woo! Man, I really wish we could skip that part. You know, empty words, why do they matter? Why is that not wise? Why is that in the conversation of if I have good things in me and I bring good things out to others, or if I have evil things in me and I bring evil things out to others? Our words, I have found, matter so much. Proverbs, which is our collection of wisdom sayings in our Bible, one of them, oh, this is so brutal. It says, where words are many, sin is unavoidable. Says the guy up on stage talking for 30 minutes straight. So there's sin in here somewhere, right? I'll have to give an account for every empty word. Why? Why? As it turns out, it's not just our deeds, like what we do with our hands, that are a part of what shapes us. It's also part of what we say can really impact who we're becoming and how that is changing the world around us. Maybe we could pick the conversation up in the book of Ephesians. We read this earlier in service. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Can we just hang out on this for a second? Just imagine. I want you to imagine. What would happen? What would happen? Just get crazy with me. If for 1 week, everybody that calls LaCroix home, if this happened in their life, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Let's break that down a little bit. Helpful. Did you know that if we are going to help an adult, if we're going to be wise in helping an adult, they have to agree that they need help? Right? Has anyone ever tried to help you when you didn't want help? Did you love it? No. The motto in our house is, I was going to do that until you told me to. Right? Yeah. And so if we're going to help an adult, they have to agree that they need help. So part of this conversation is if I'm going to say something, does this person even want it? Does this person even want it? And if they don't, guess what we should do? Skip it. Skip it, because it's going to be in the unwholesome talk category. But only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. That means that we've taken time to discern, is this even addressing the person, their needs? Not my needs to be right, or my need to be heard, or my need to prove that I know what I'm talking about, but is this helpful for their needs? And do they want to hear it? And if so, is it going to build them up and benefit them? Then wisdom has really shown up. And this is a chance to speak something into someone else's life, to have our deeds that ends up changing that person. Or Isaiah 50, verse 4. The sovereign Lord has given me his words of wisdom so that I know how to comfort the weary. Morning by morning, he wakes me and opens my understanding to his will. That when God wakes us up and gives us understanding for his will, when he gives us words of wisdom, it is to comfort the weary. What would a life look like if we participated in God's wisdom like that, that ended up speaking comfort to the weary, benefiting those who listen, building up others, not any unwholesome talk coming out of our mouths? See, here's the thing. It's not just that what I do shows how wise I am. It's not just that what I do makes me into who I'm going to be. It's that what I do shapes others. So be wise. What if our orientation around our actions, our wisdom that we're speaking into the world, is knowing that we are shaping everyone that's around us? That it's not just that I am like Plato, that my actions are helping mold. It's that everyone that I'm around, when I act, I can do it for their benefit. And wisdom is going to change their life. I can impact the rest of their life by a small word. Have you ever had someone do that for you? Just those grids that wisdom is speaking comfort to the weary, or wisdom is not letting unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Have you ever had anyone do that for you? I remember I was a 16-year-old trying to figure out my call to ministry, and I was a bit of a mess because I was like not the, you know, like who you would think would, you know, go into. I'm sure I was like, I think I'm called into ministry, and everyone seemed to be like, wow, that's something. I mean, you know, keep your options open, right? You know, that was me. And there was this guy in my church, back then we called it the Fellowship Hall, and it's where you hung out and ate donuts. And he was popping a donut into his mouth, and I was trying to figure it out, and he said, look, if God's calling you something, when we call someone, we're calling them who they are. Like when I call you your name, it's because that's who you are. So if you have a calling on your life, it's because God's telling you who you are. So why don't you just look at your life and see if you're already a pastor? And if you are a pastor, well, you might as well, like, get paid for it. And in that moment, my life changed. My life changed. I switched gears, and that took the weight off me. That was helpful. He understood my needs. He knew how to speak something into my life that gave comfort to the weary of me trying to figure out, what am I supposed to do with my life? And it was a 10-second conversation. And I'm turning 40 this year, and I'm headed in this direction in part because of that conversation. That was wisdom. That was wisdom. Your words can shape other people's lives. And Jesus invites us into that kind of conversation, into that kind of intentionality. I was absolutely blown away. I mean, I knew what was in there, but I was blown away with how much of the Bible, of the wisdom in the Bible, is about what we say. Apparently, our words hold life and death in them. Apparently, words, as Scripture seems to give them energy, it's like they can create whole new worlds. Our engagement around our conversation, Proverbs has several things just to lay out. I'll just give you a few. Proverbs 15, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Leave that one up there for a second. That doesn't blow anyone's mind. You know that, right? Every time your extended family comes over, this is apparent. Yeah? But when we hear it, we're like, oh, I forgot that a gentle answer turns away wrath, But a harsh word stirs up anger. So we have a choice what to do with our words. Proverbs 26, this one's great. Do not answer a fool according to his folly or his foolishness, or you yourself will be just like him. So if you're with a fool, which biblical definition of a fool is someone who is not willing to learn, if a fool is trying to draw you into a conversation, how should we argue with a fool? Don't. Just don't. Right? And we're like, ooh, that, why is it so hard? But I'm so right and stuff. You know? And scripture's just like, you know you're just going to end up, what's the phrase about pigs? If you get in the mud with pigs, you get dirty and the pig likes it. Right? I mean, you just don't. Just don't. Wisdom, right? Next. Fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end. Like, oh my gosh, why is that? That feels so good to hear. And I'm also like, ugh. Like, God is inviting us to shape the world with our actions, that you can participate in making a more peaceful, wisdom-filled, beneficial world with how you act, if we are wise. See, here's the thing. Wisdom is proved right by her deeds. By her deeds. Not our ideas, not our intentions. We have the chance to change the world with our deeds. Now, here's the thing. So what do we do? Because I've got all kinds of stuff in me that like is not wise. So what do I do with it? There's maybe just quickly, there's two ditches that we could end up in. One is the ditch that we talked about earlier, which is if we have a desire, that's your authentic self, just go for it. Just be real. Be real. You do you. Tell people what you really think. You're just being honest. And we've kind of grown, it seems like, in the last few years in celebrating people just saying what's on their mind, you know, as if that's a virtue, right? You know, like, oh my gosh, apparently you can get paid millions of dollars on cable television for doing this, you know, stirring up wrath. And like, this is a whole thing, you know, and we'll cheer people on. Like, you're being authentic. And scripture calls that foolishness. Because we all experience, you know, we all know, that it doesn't make the world better, right? That's one ditch. The other ditch is the hyper-religious approach that Jesus was dealing with, which isn't always just found in spiritual circles. There is a whole kind of religion that has nothing to do with God, but like a strict set of rules that you have to stay on this line or else you are in serious trouble. And in this world, the ditch of that desire is just to repress it, to deny it, to pretend like it isn't there, to not admit it, to hide it, you know, and just to shove it down. Right? And that thing that I wanted to say, that thing that I wanted to do, that impulse that I had that wasn't wise, I just need to pretend like it doesn't exist. I'm so glad Jesus offers us something in the middle, something better than that. Because when Jesus had this whole wisdom is proved right by her deeds thing, he was getting criticized by who he was spending his time with. He was definitely frustrating this group of people over here who wanted to be harsh about that kind of thing. I think that Jesus offers us a way of grace. He offers us a way of grace that says, you can confess. You can name it. You can say, this is a desire that I have. This is an impulse that I want to say this. I want to do this. I can bring it before a good God that loves us and people that care about me. I can name it. And that somehow like pulls the power away from it. Sometimes I get a little concerned, just as an example, of maybe people that are about to get married or they just got married or something, and they have this like, I will never have an affair. I could never do that. Oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can. When you're really tired and you've had a hard year and a particularly hard month and a particularly hard week and a particularly hard day, you can make bad choices. Am I right? And so the repression thing is to say, I would never. The honest thing is to say, I totally could. But to have people that we can carry that to and say, because I am capable of unwise decisions, I want to be able to process that with you. I want to be able to name it when it's coming up in me. When that thing that has anger or lust or avoidance or whatever it is, greed, that I can name it and say, this is what I'm feeling. And in that space, if we trust the people we're talking to, we can receive grace. We can receive grace, and that thing loses power if we're willing to pull it into the light, to confess, and to receive grace and forgiveness and support from God and others. So here's the thing. Wisdom is proved right by her deeds. And if we have good ideas, it will not change the world. If we have good intentions, it will not change the world. What will shape the world into a better place, because you were in it, is when we invite the Holy Spirit to help us transform how we live in the world. Jesus, when he came down to be with us, he didn't just say beautiful things that we marvel at today. What changed the world is his deeds. Ultimately, that he ended up dying for you because he loves you. That this is what wisdom looks like, that he would lay his life down to get you back. And thousands of years later, billions of people call him the Son of God because wisdom has been proved right by her deeds, not just her ideas. And Jesus invites us into a life like that. So let's pray together. God, we want to offer you what we do. And it would be easy to like beat ourselves up on this and be like, oh my gosh, we don't do enough things right, and to carry that around is shame. We're so thankful that that is the exact thing that you died for, that we don't have to carry our shame. We don't have to carry our shame. We can receive forgiveness and strength from you. Just to take a few minutes to reflect right now. Would you just let the Lord bring to mind a couple of things? One, in the last day or two, where have you been wise? Where was some place when your words or actions brought wisdom, comfort, help, and healing to some situation? And just experience God saying over you, well done, well done, well done. Being a friend is hard. Being a boss is hard. Being an employee is hard. Parenting is hard. But you did right there. Wisdom is proved right by her deeds. Good job. Now, would you let God bring to mind some area of your life, some relationship, some particular interaction where you know you need some wisdom? Not just right heart or right ideas, but a way of living that's different, a way of speaking that's different. And just ask him for help there. God, what would wisdom look like there? What would God's character put to work look like there? Lastly, would you ask the Lord who you can be open with that can help you reflect on how you're acting, where you are being wise so they can encourage you, where you aren't so that they can help point you in the right direction, people that you can confess to when you have desires that crop up that aren't wise. Say, who, Lord? And if someone doesn't come to mind now, maybe over the next few days, God put someone in my path. That I can ask honest questions with, like, where do you think I'm being wise? Where do you think I'm not? Jesus, we thank you that you don't want to just transform who we are on the inside. You want to transform how we act so that that will transform the world in wisdom. Amen.
If you enjoyed today's message, make sure to subscribe to this channel. Feel free to share this with others that God has put on your heart. To learn more about LaCroix Church or to find your next steps, head to lacroixchurch.org. Thanks again for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.